Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
UltimateSportsTalk.com. We are in the mix. WFA playoffs, women's playoffs, everywhere, internationally as well, in the Italian leagues, as well as in Guam. And so a great month is going to happen this month because you got Mexico, Guam, Italy, and a couple, you know, the whole slate of games this whole month up to July, I believe July 5th. For the WFA 2014 playoffs. So we'll get into that as well. We have Pete Richmeyer that we're going to get into the LFL this week as well, to what's going on there in terms of the midseason slate there. And the IWFL, we'll keep you up to date on those on our Facebook page as well as our Twitter feed. You got some key matchups coming up for the IWFL in terms of the playoff slate. You got Pittsburgh Keystone undefeated, kind of interesting matchup there in the Pennsylvania swing. So welcome to Gridiron Beauties Radio, along with the beautiful Erica Lynn Anderson. Erica, are you on?
I'm here. Hello, everybody. Hope everyone's having a good Sunday so far.
It's Father's Day, so hopefully Dad, in your end, was a happy guy today.
He was. We got him a couple of cards, and my kids signed it, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Mother's Day is a very big deal, and I feel like Father's Day is not as celebrated as it should be. So fathers are very important. They're a big deal, and you guys are loved and appreciated.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of a toned-down event, but it's okay because, you know, some flippers, some shorts, and maybe a cake here and there. You're good to go. It's pretty easy to shop for Dad. Mom's usually a lot more.
True,
you got to think about all the other stuff, you know. And if at some point you'll disappoint, as my sister would say, you expect a lot more than what you get. But that's the way it goes when you're a mom, I guess.
That's why you should underexpect. That's my motto. I underexpect, and then it can only get better, right?
I mean, that's the best approach to take, I think, in reality. So, but for those folks that obviously, you know, you got single moms out there that play dads as well. So we got to give a shout out to them.
True.
Because it's kind of tough sometimes when you're, you know, single parent and you got to play both
Very
roles.
True.
So I understand those as hard.
My mom was a single mother my whole life, and she was amazing, is amazing. And we always got her stuff on Father's Day because She played both roles, and I know how hard that is. And big shout-out to all the women playing both sides of the ball, essentially.
Yeah, and you know, when you're raising, like, more than two kids, one kid's enough, but when you get more than, it's kind of tough. But hats off to all the, you know, the dads out there and, like I said, the single moms out there that obviously are carrying along that as well.
For sure.
We're gonna get to the LFL here in a little bit with Pete Richmeyer. And then we're going to dive into the NFL news and notes as we get into the hour. And then at the end, we will detail and kind of tally up what happened in the WFA playoffs round one yesterday and kind of give everybody a perspective of round two as to what's going to happen. So we have Pete lined up, so let's hope he is coming on board today because we had talked to him and he had some intangibles as well. So we always appreciate his time. So, Erica, as soon as you see that he's on, then let us know, and then we'll get him on and put him on board.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, we have NFL news and notes to cover, and a lot of OTAs going into. We're going into the OTAs stage of everything. Pretty easy in terms of who's going to be signed or who's not, but there are question marks. So what did you come up with this week with the NFL news and notes at this point?
Well, what I found interesting, have you heard about the Marshawn Lynch situation in Seattle?
Yep.
So he has said that he, something about retiring, he wants more money and he won't go to OTAs. He's probably going to sit him out until the whole contract thing is worked out. So, that's a huge deal. Obviously, he was an integral part of that Super Bowl winning team last year. So, I read an article that said Seattle says he's already being paid as a top five running back. And he's already in the middle of he has a four-year deal or something like that. And so I think the Seahawks are a little reluctant to give him more money. But, he wants more money, and he's talking about retiring. So that's pretty huge for them.
Yeah, given that they lost some key pieces, that's a big loss for them. But when you get boiled down to it, every Super Bowl team goes through this. Key players get to a point where they feel they're over, they need more value or they need to be compensated for that purpose. It's a swing that happens every year. He was an integral part of the offense, but, in a quarterback to running back sense, reality is the running backs are replaceable more so than a quarterback would be.
Yeah. Well, and two, Seattle doesn't have the cap room, I don't think, to pay him the money he wants. They've shelled out some big contracts in the offseason, Richard Sherman and, a couple other people. So I also don't think Seattle has the room that he'd like, this is something, I am sure maybe he could go somewhere else. But like you said, the players need to be careful when they start demanding and making threats, because you're always replaceable. Even a quarterback, they're hard to replace, especially a good quarterback, but every player is replaceable, and there's always somebody behind you willing to work harder and that wants that spot more than you do. So, you definitely need to be careful making threats like that.
Yeah, and Seattle, they've been good. Now we'll see how good they are in terms of back-to-back titles. So remake, they're going to have to reshift some people. But overall, I think they're still a solid team in the West. The Niners have improved so far. I know Arizona is going to be better. St. Louis is bound to get better, even if they finish in the cellar, because it's a tough division. And the conference is still a tough conference, top to bottom in the conference. So they need him, but with the same token, like you said, based on cap room and based on everything that they're dealing with in terms of other personnel decisions, I would not be surprised if anybody else picks him up. But he's going to be going to a lower graded team. I don't think he's going to be going to a top conference team. He might be going to somebody that needs a boost to improve.
Yeah, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'd rather take less money and play for a good team than to make a bunch of money and go to some team where you have to, not necessarily work harder, but you have to work harder and see less results or work the same. I definitely would take less money for the win. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense, but, egos come into play and agents come into play and, influences come into play, and that's really the bottom line right there. It's not the fact that just the player makes the decision. It's the agent of the player that, is pushing forward for its big commission mentality and long-term success for them as well. It's a money ball game, and it's not necessarily just the player making that decision. It's very few and in between. I always compare people in the NFL to the hockey league. You never hear about you never hear in the NHL somebody abusing their wife, murdering their wife, or being in jail with drugs or overly abused with any of that stuff. And I really has to, I think it really has to do with the upbringing. Some of the players here, they come from broken homes. They come from, you know, the projects. They build up themselves that way, and they have all these intangibles to deal with, where in a traditional hockey sense, for example, you never hear anything about some of the players because it's very family-oriented, and they support each other, and they've always been brought up to where it's a team-oriented sport, and the parents have sacrificed to get them to that point. In football, I think there's drawbacks there because that's what goes into play when they make a decision, and the reality is they make a decision based on dollars, and they don't make a decision long-term after football mentality. Like you said, if he's taking less money, it's not going to be that much less money than he's going to take now. But if he wants the big payday, he's probably going to suffer by going to a lower-ranked team or somebody that really needs a boost. And there's question marks there whether they're going to ever get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely the agents and stuff that, and I understand, you know, the need for agents in a sense, but I look at a lot of stuff that happens, and a lot of it seems due to agents pushing and feeding egos and all that. In some sense, it ruins the game, you know, because it's hard to focus on the purity of the game when there's all this other crap thrown in, you know?
Yeah. So what else is on the docket besides Seattle and this little nightmare of a cap and somebody thinking they're better and they deserve better?
Well, I saw this and thought of you because of the Rams. The Rams signed their draft pick. They signed Greg Robinson. They signed Michael Sam. They signed all their rookies. So that's good news for the Rams. I mean, nobody's going anywhere, and, you know, hopefully, you know, they can concentrate now instead of – they have all their contracts solidified now, so now they can go forward and hopefully really work and better the team, because I really want to see the Rams do well. I like the Rams, and I want to see them beat some people in their division for sure.
Yeah, competitive-wise, like I said, it's a real tough division, but it bodes well for them in terms of getting everybody in camp. And I think they have to do that because to be competitive with San Francisco, Seattle, and Arizona, and Arizona is up and coming right now. San Francisco is, you know, it's got some question marks in terms of, you know, offensive, but defensively they're still pretty stout. Seattle, like we said, we won't know about Seattle's status until probably the last 30 days before kickoff in terms of how they look and how they've changed. But overall, the division, the West, is pretty tough. So it's a good sign for them that they obviously get everybody in the house.
Mhm. Yes, and we had talked about, I mean, with the combine and all that, we had talked about Derek Carr, the quarterback out of Fresno State. You know. You know, he was drafted by the Raiders, and there is talk that he is really pushing Matt Schaub for the starting position. You know, they initially thought that they were going to have to kind of redshirt him, if you will, have him sit out, and they said that they don't know that that's a possibility now. They just think that they like where he's at. They just said that he's very comfortable and that he's kind of stepping into that role. So that's pretty exciting for Raiders fans.
Yeah, and we talked about it short term about how that would impact changes in the Raider realm, and I agree with you. I think it's going to be competitive. We're looking at Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez mentality right there. Who's going to, you know, come about? You know, the veteran player that's been in a couple years, or we're talking they're going to go with the rookie because of explosiveness or some sort of other things that they see with them. But either way, Oakland's got to make a move to make sure they stay competitive in that division, especially with Denver.
Yeah, for sure. And I like to see this. I mean, because I like Schaub. I've obviously been very vocal about that. I know people think he's done. But I think he's got a couple of years left in him. But, you know, if this car can push him or even, you know, really learn from Schaub and kind of if they can work together, and Oakland can only benefit from either one. So.
Yeah, and that's the whole plus behind it is they got two good quarterbacks. Now it's just a matter of building the offense around them and giving them some opportunities to, you know, elevate their game.
Exactly. Yeah, getting them some weapons and some protection now is the key to their success in Oakland.
So what else is on the docket in the NFL?
Seemingly enough, I found it funny. Only because I've been very critical of him since he came in. Vince Young says, on retirement, it's definitely official, I think. Definitely, I think. He's retired.
I thought he was going to the Canadian League. I thought he was going to be bouncing off to the CFL. I mean, isn't Ocho Cinco in Canada now or something like that from
he
what
is,
I read
yeah,
a while
Chad
back?
Johnson's in, yeah, Chad Johnson's
in Canada.
Canada
somewhere, right? So everybody, you know, you either go to the Raiders or you go to the North in Canada to kind of end your career. So I guess the Raiders didn't have an opening for him, so I guess he's just decided to retire.
It's, you know, and Vince Young, the real problem with him, to me, from what I've seen, is he seems lazy to me. Like, he's not willing to really work and really, you know, really willing to craft his skill. And, you know, I've seen him throw temper tantrums on the sideline. And not that I get it's an emotional game and you're competitive and all that. But, you know, just his character in general, just to retire like that, I mean, you know, there's some guys out there, they just play backup because they love the game and they want to be involved and they want to maybe sometime get their chance, you know. And for Vince Young to just be like, oh, I quit, to me shows his character. That right there says that's all you need to know about Vince.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, somebody like that wasn't really into the game to begin with, because somebody into the game would have found a way to get back in and make an impact. And he made a very short impact, if any. And, you know, sour grapes is what they call it. So I guess he just wasn't in the know. So he's got a better future somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah, and I think this also shows the difference between just because you're a good college player, that doesn't always transition into the pro game. And people automatically expect it to, you know. I think he won the Heisman, or he was in there. I think they won a national championship. Texas did. And it just doesn't always transition. Your skills can't always come over, and you mentally and emotionally and maturity-wise, you don't always handle it well. And you know, those are all factors into whether you're going to be a success in the game. So. A shame.
Yeah, and it's a shame. He's very talented. He's, you know, proper height, kind of like Griffin in Washington. So it's just a shame that he did not bring his talents together. And there've been a lot of quarterbacks that way in the past couple that, you know, overhyped from college. They come into the NFL and they just completely, you know, they're just bust. So really, the top rated, you know, all this stuff that was going on this year with, you know, it's basically more TV coverage than anything. It doesn't say anything in terms of the combine. It doesn't say anything until you hit the field and you play one down and you figure out exactly how it needs to happen. That's the time. Other than that, it's just a bunch of numbers, a bunch of hearsay, and a lot of, oh, my God, I think he's going to be the most amazing person on planet Earth. Never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we wish Johnny Manziel really good in Cleveland, because I'd really want the Cleveland fans to make an impact this next year.
Yeah, I really do hope Manziel, obviously I've been vocal about my assessment of him. I really hope that he can mature, because I think that those are his biggest things right now, and handle the fame and the money appropriately, because that is usually these big, you know, the big hyped guys, when they come in, that's usually their downfall, is the fame and the money. And they can't handle that and, you know, handle trying to be a good quarterback. And so I hope that he can just leave the distractions off the field, not pay attention to them, and just work on his game. I really do hope that for him, because that fall would just be terrible. So.
Yeah, And we wish him well, outside of football, if anything. I mean, no, you never want to wish anybody bad luck or anything like that, but we wish him well. So,
for sure.
Do The other intangible that I had, or the other question that I had was, you know, we're going to start the Romo Dallas, OTAs and everything else in terms of shows. So, I just wish we would not be on that. I mean, there's a lot more focused teams. Why don't we focus on the Giants? I mean, the collapse of the New York Giants. Why don't we talk about that for the OTA season and stuff like that? But, you know, this network, NFL Network, sometimes just gets on the America's Team bandwagon, and it just, you know, gets boring, and I think they need to change it up a little bit.
I agree. I agree. I'm so tired of hearing about Tony Romo and Jerry Jones and that whole Days of Our Lives soap opera. I don't understand. You know, they hype him up, and he still has not provided any concrete proof that he should be as big as he is. He has done nothing. And you can quote passing yard, career passing yard stats to me and quarterback ratings and all that, but this is a case where stats don't matter because the wins aren't there. You know, this game is really about wins and stats if that's what you want to judge somebody by, but you got to kind of look at them both, and he just doesn't have the wins. They've been in the playoffs maybe once or twice since he's quarterbacked for him. It's ridiculous, and I don't know why we got to keep talking about him.
Yeah, it's like I said, that one and done. You don't talk about it's when you get deep in the playoffs and when you start talking about. But I will have to give him credit. You know, obviously he's a good regular season quarterback, probably one of the better top notch quarterbacks in the regular season. Just not a very good finisher. So finishing is what matters.
Yeah.
And if you're not a finisher, you're not very relative in terms of everybody's mind. But there's a lot more drawbacks to his career in terms of, that failure. Just the fact that he everybody says he doesn't have enough people around him. Well, what do you need to do? Build a steel wall or something? I don't know. It's just, you got to get over the hump somehow. You know what I mean? It's like robots. You got to bring robots to Dallas to get over the hump? Come on. Everybody's got injuries. Everybody gets to the end. And you make one bad play, one bad decision, you own it. And now everybody remembers him for bad decisions and owning them. So that's where he stands.
Yeah. I know. And then we wouldn't talk about him as much if he wasn't on Jerry Jones' team.
Exactly.
Sure.
We would not be talking about him.
People would just make fun of him. Well, they make fun of him now, but we would talk about him and make fun of him.
All right. So, I don't think Pete's going to come on because he said he was going to try to make it for us, but we can reschedule him.
Okay.
That's not a problem. So I don't think he's on, right?
No, he's not on.
Okay, no problem. So I will touch base with him because he did tell me ahead of time that he will try to make it, and he has some other things lined up for us, but no big deal. We will reschedule with him, and he's always accommodating. So happy Father's Day to him as well. He was going to try to make it today, but unfortunately that's more important than making our show. Not a problem. It's Father's Day, and he deserves it. So let's talk LFL for a little bit together here. LFL, Legends Football League. We had the two games on the docket this weekend, Saturday night on YouTube, and you can catch the game at Legends Football League on YouTube. And it was the Atlanta Steam 20-13 against the Omaha Heart. You got some key names in Atlanta, specifically Dakota Hughes, rookie starting quarterback. It was 13-13 in the fourth, and she comes up with a big play 30 seconds left in the game to put her team up 20-13 to win the game. It's been kind of an up-and-down season for LFL football, some cancellation of games. Things have not worked out as well as planned in the fifth season by now, lacking the sales force, a lot of intangibles, drama in the inside that we have not seen before in this state. But you would think after 5 years they would have gotten it together, but it's not the case. But Atlanta wins 20-13. They were supposed to play the Toledo Crush in the previous game, and it got canceled. So we will see if any more cancellations are going to happen in this league forward in the next coming weeks, because going in the next schedule of weeks, you got top teams coming on the docket, and they're very staple teams. You know, you got Baltimore, you got Jacksonville, Omaha once again. So you got a lot of teams in the mix for a playoff run in the Eastern Conference. And in the West, you had the tie game that was given to Los Angeles and Green Bay Chill. Green Bay Chill game was canceled. Once again, the Chill fans in Milwaukee get screwed because the first game was canceled because of NCAA, and it was supposed to have been rescheduled. The second game is canceled. At this point, it looks like the Chill fans in Green Bay are not going to see their Chill live this year in 2014. Green Bay has played one game. That was against the Seattle Mist, which they lost. They played admirably at 38-24, and then they went to Vegas, and they played in Vegas as well. So no home games for them. Pretty much on the docket, four games. We'll see how that turns out in terms of a tie against Los Angeles. There's a lot of question marks going into the league. The good game that you're going to be able to watch next Saturday is going to be Chicago versus Seattle, top teams in the Western Conference. The Bliss, the champs of last year, taking on Seattle, which they beat in the playoffs last year. So there was kind of a playoff rematch. The Seattle Mist comes in. They led the game, and then the Bliss came in towards the end of the game to tie. They had to go to overtime. And in the LFL, given the constraints of finances and everything else, they could not go to a double overtime because of the fact that it costs more to obviously stay with the arena status. And so they had to go and decide to do an overtime tie. So sort of an NFL-type rule, where if you go one overtime, nobody scores, then you end up in a tie. So that's the tie, 34-34 Seattle versus the Bliss. It's kind of interesting to see the evolution of the fifth year of this league, and you would think by now there would be more marketing, we would have more fanfare, but it just seems like it's still in year two, not in year five. So I know you haven't watched a lot of LFL football, Erica, but it just seems like it needs to be restructured or financially restructured, and at the same time, managerial-wise, it needs to be, you know, better. So I don't know at this point where they stand, but those are the two games that are on the docket for this league. One was from the previous week, and it was presented on YouTube, Friday the 13th was the matchup between the Bliss and the Mist that ended up in a tie.
Yeah, talking about the games that were canceled, I don't know how they expect to grow the league and get people interested in it if they just keep canceling games. I mean, how do you expect people to be like, oh, yeah, you know, it really presents an unreliable front to people. Like, well, gosh, what's wrong with this league and what's wrong with this team? And it's not the team, obviously, but that's really the perception that fans get. And, you know, like with Green Bay not getting their home games, so how do you expect to get the home crowd really behind their team if they can't even go and watch them? It doesn't make any sense. The LFL's actually hurting itself by not getting these games scheduled. And, you know, I mean, they schedule them, but then they have to cancel them, but not getting them played. And that's marketing right there. So it's kind of a vicious cycle there that you don't get money because you can't. People aren't going to invest or pay money for unreliability and inconsistency. So,
yeah, and it's kind of a sad situation when you have players devoting their time, like we talked about. They don't get paid. It's not like the NFL where they're getting money. They don't. If the games get canceled, oh well, you know, you got your perk on it. But in this case, it's disappointing on both fronts. You got the players really working their butts off week in, week out, sacrificing time and efforts from dual jobs. And then you got the fans, you know, buying their tickets probably ahead of time or before game time, and then you get to a point where you get canceled. So logistically, there's issues in the Legends Football League right now that need to be fixed. The owner knows it. Everybody that had helped him out in the previous two seasons has either bailed on him and is no longer working. He works on an internship for staffing, which doesn't make sense. You're 5 years into this league. By now, you should have had a sales force to promote, to engage, and to get the fans out to the arena. And he does have NFL, you know, cities. And that's kind of like you have to scratch your head and go, you're in good markets. Why would you not?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a good brand, and you're showcasing something that obviously somebody wants to watch, and these girls are putting in their hard-earned time and money to play this game, and they're coming up on the short end of the stick on both ends. The fans are getting shafted, and the players ultimately are getting shafted with finances and time, and they're losing time, family time. At the same time, they're probably asking for time for work off of work. So, you know, there's a lot of negatives going on right now in Legends Football League that should be corrected. And management-wise, it's suffering at this point. They need to come up with a better game plan.
Yeah, for sure. We agree.
So that was Legends Football League. We're going to keep you updated on the Facebook page as well as on Twitter. And you can follow them at MayaLFL on Twitter. And you can also follow them, obviously, on, like I said, the YouTube channel at Legends Football League. You can watch the previous games there and all the other slew of games that are on there as well. Let's move on to Canada. Canada this weekend, the Western Women's Canadian Football League had their semifinals, and we have the end results. We got to give hats off to the Edmonton Storm, who finished their season 4-0. We also got to give hats off to the Lethbridge Steel. Lethbridge ended up on the short end of the stick last year in the finals against the Saskatoon Valkyries, the three-time champions of this league. The league is 3 years old. The only champions in this league, Saskatoon Valkyries. So they're going for number four this season, and they are going to get to face the arch rival, Regina Riot, which they have owned in the last 3 years in terms of a championship playoff format. So Saskatoon versus Regina, June 22nd, and we're going to be looking at Edmonton versus Lethbridge in the playoff format. So we could see a rematch of last year if the Steel beats the Storm, which we don't anticipate because the Storm has played a very good ball all season long. And at the same time, the Valkyrie have stayed on same ground. They have not lost any ground in terms of input and output. So at this point, we expect Saskatoon, maybe Edmonton in the final. And hopefully the Storm can give the Valkyrie a run for their money and unseat the three-time champs. But a lot of football to be played between now and then. The championship is going to be July 5th, and you can follow the league at WWCFL in Canada. So what do you think of that, Erica? This league is very young. It's only 4 years old. It is making an immediate impact for women's football in the Middle Eastern Canada section, and next year we have the Central Canadian Women's Football League, which is going to kick off in the Ontario, Toronto, in that area of the region, towards the East Coast area, and then we also have the Maritime we haven't talked about, but overall, Canada, women's football in Canada is growing at a very fast rate, and this is one of the top leagues. The WWCFL is one of the top.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, and I said it before, but I absolutely love these names, like the Valkyrie. That is so cool. But, yeah, I mean, three-time champion, that's pretty impressive, and that's exciting that, you know, they're going to play again and have this team has the potential to knock them off. That's kind of a underdog story, which are always people love underdog stories, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you have Edmonton that wasn't bad last year, but this year they've recommitted themselves, the Edmonton Storm that I'm talking about, recommitted themselves mm-hmm. and have put themselves on a good squad this year. They're 4-0 coming into this playoff run, undefeated. They're feeling really good. Lethbridge has been there the last two seasons, and they obviously want to get over the hump. So it's going to be a battle between who wants it more, because either way, unless the Riot somehow comes up with a miracle, which, you know, they could, but, you know, reality is the Saskatoon Valkyries are very tough to beat. And so in the final, it's more than likely it's going to be Valkyrie, but now we got to figure out whether it's going to be the Storm or the Steel facing Saskatoon. So Steel maybe get another crack at the Valkyrie for the title, or it's going to be the Storm coming up once again to the title game and see if they can compete against the three-time champ. So it's going to be very interesting in Canada. It's going to, and next week is going to be exciting.
That is exciting. That's cool. I'll be interested to hear the results of that.
Yeah, and this week it was 48-6 in the semifinal as the Valkyrie pretty much in a blowout against the Manitoba Fearless. So Manitoba Fearless loses 48-6 in the semifinal, and the other score I believe was a shutout, and it was Edmonton shutting out in their game, I believe, against the Northern Anarchy. So we'll keep up to date on that, and you can follow, like I said, the Western Women's Canadian Football League at WWCFL for all the latest details there. In the realm of international sense, we have to give the hats off to the Barbera Rookies, and the Barbera Rookies also four-time champions of the Spanish League, and they ended up beating the Buffaloes, and congratulations to Monica Refekas, who is the MVP of the week, and you can actually get to see all the news and notes that we have, and we're going to post it up on Facebook this week and on Twitter. But you can follow the Spanish League at FIFA underscore Spain, F-E-F-A underscore Spain. You can also follow them at NFL Hispano as well as at Field Goal underscore EU. So all those three can keep you up to date on everything that's going on in the Spanish League. In the Italian League this week and yesterday, or for most of the day, you have two shots out there. But in the Italian League, you got Fenice, which was the top squad team, and you had Neptune taking on, I believe it was, Neptune versus, trying to get my notes here right because I wrote everything down, and I usually forget some things. But anyways, the CIFL game in Italy, it was Neptune's against the Milano, Cyrene Milano, and Fenice. So we'll get the updates on here for that. But hats off to the semifinals. We'll get the updates on the final in the Guam League as we go forward with the international scene here. In Guam, Steel Blazers will be taking on Team Legacy. Team Legacy is the two-time champs of the Guam Women's Tackle Football League, and they're going to be taking on Steel Blazers as well. So it's going to be an exciting weekend of championship going forward next weekend in terms of the international scene. You can follow the Italian League at CIFAA underscore 2013, or you can get the game day updates at FIDAF game day, FIDF game day, and you can follow that on our timeline as well. So what do you think of that, Erica? A lot of exciting Barbera Rookies, four-time champs in the Spanish League, sort of a young league just like the Canadian League, and the Guam League, only 4 years old as well, and you're looking at Team Legacy repeating again. And Guam League is actually supported by Bud Light as a sponsor
as well
up in Guam. Yeah. So the international scene, what's your thoughts on that?
I like that, because internationally we tend to, in America, we kind of get tunnel vision here, and maybe that's where it is everywhere, but no matter where you live. But I think it's really exciting. It seems like other countries are very, they're a lot more diversified, and they tend to support things that America doesn't, like women's tackle football seems to be really big in these other countries. And here in America, we're having a hard time getting it really supported, getting it really sponsored and stuff. So it's exciting and interesting to hear about how well these teams are doing, and how much support they have in whatever country they are. So I like to hear that.
Yeah, we got Mexico's growing the female extreme football, that's what it's called, FXX, and then you got the Australian League that's going to kick off in about 2 months as well. Gridiron Australia now is actually being involved with the women's gridiron game, and you can follow Australia at women's gridiron as well to get all the latest info on that. But the Italian League is growing. We haven't even touched base on the Swedish and Finnish leagues because we haven't been able to network with anybody there. We are working really hard to get some people to give us some feedback in terms of the women's scene there. and to post some things on our Facebook page. So we still got a little bit to go in the European scene to get that going. We haven't even touched the German league yet as well. And there's some teams in France that play. So we're kind of diving into everything going, but our network is not so well suited for Europe right now. But we want to thank everybody, Don Mon in the Guam scene, as well as Guam_sports. We also want to give hats out to, like I said, up in the Canadian leagues. All the Canadian leagues have supported us since day one. They follow us, and we want to, you know, give a shout out to them as well. So internationally, given the World Championship of last year, now the World Championship's coming up in 2017. It's going to that tournament, I think, will be so impactful. It's going to be like the World Cup of soccer is right now. It's going to be improved play on all levels of the American football, but on a women's sense, which is now women's football is going to be relevant in a world scene, especially with USA Football and Football Canada getting involved, and with some coaching that's being done. As we talked about before, in Football Canada, Football Canada has an actual female coaching, program that they're going to put in place. So that's kind of exciting times going into the 2017 tournament in the World Championships, the IFAB World Championships.
For sure. As far as internationally with women's football, do they have the same setup as where they don't get paid and they have to kind of pay to play? Is it the same as it is in America?
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, there's no pro league, official pro league that is structured enough to compensate right now. So, it's basically the same. Almost every league has to do the same thing. They have to pay their way. The only league that I know of that is somehow financially sound right now that's in a structured mode is the LIBF in Mexico, and that's because they've hooked up with some big sponsors. The girls in Mexico under the LIBF umbrella, they get about $200 per game right now. And the LIBF is growing in small facets, but they're having tournaments. One of the tournaments they had this past weekend was the Mexicani Bowl, and that was between the Red Devils, the debut of the Red Devils, versus the Team Gold, which is an all-star squad that the league puts together. And so that was a good venue out in Mexico. We'll have the results on our Twitter feed as well as our Facebook page. And the week three, I believe, in that league was Angels winning 32-6 over the Hooligans, the Bengalas 12-6 over the Vipers. We get the results on that. But that's the only league that I'm aware of right now that is actually compensating their players a minimal amount of dollars per game on a scale, which is wonderful if they can maintain that. So they have a sales force in place. They got some good connections with some soccer folks, with some pro wrestling promoters as well. So they're doing the basics to stay afloat, but at the same time they're compensating. So that's a great sign for anybody else. It's a good model for some other leagues to follow in the future.
Yeah, for sure. That's a very good point. Yeah, I see no reason why these. In America, why they can't get hooked up with some sponsors. I mean, it's definitely a marketable idea. It's obviously, I think if more people were exposed to it, they would have more fans, they would have more interest, and it's really too bad that it's in the state it's in right now.
Yeah, and a lot of the teams in America do have some stream feeds. The Sharks do, the Passion. There's a couple teams that do have live games or delayed games. Just a matter of the league structuring it better so they can present maybe a game of the week. And then people, I think, will dive into that a lot more once they get to see it, once a week. Then you get a fanfare going that way. So at this point, more than likely, it's just a matter of time before they set up some sort of game of the week or figure out what's the best game of the week to put and showcase so people can see ball. So if anybody wants to see real quality football, they can follow the Pittsburgh Passion at pittsburghpassion.com. They can go to newyorksharks.com as well. They have the Women's Football Network on there. And this year's 2014 WFA National Championship is going to be covered on ESPN3, the national title game, on August 2nd. So everybody can watch it. So it's a positive step for women's football.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN3 will cover the a national championship from Chicago, Illinois on August 2nd. It's going to be the WFA championship. So, and then on August 1st, the inaugural Alliance Bowl will be presented, and that's home field advantage mentality head-to-head. It's going to be, you know, number three, number four, basically, instead of number one, number two in the championship. Three and four will play what they call an Alliance Bowl. And so that'll be kind of interesting to see how that works, and that'll be August 2nd, and ESPN will do the national championship, so that's great.
That is a positive step for the women's game, for sure.
Now, we'll go to the rundown, and I'll give you a little bit of rundown in terms of the playoff formats in the WFA. The IWFL scores, like I said, we'll get them updated, and as soon as the playoff format and the bracket is put out, we will showcase that on our Facebook page and then to discuss it next week on our show as well. So the bracket stands right now, so we'll go through the brackets here. Week one, this was the first round. It was the Houston Power. They were going to take on the Nebraska Stampede. Houston wins, and they big win, and they move on to face the Kansas City Titans, which were undefeated. Then that's next weekend's game, Kansas City taking on Houston. And then you have the Tulsa Threat that went to visit the Minnesota Machine. The Machine ended up winning the game, and now they're going to take on the Austin Outlaws. And the winner of the Austin Outlaws and the Machine and the winner of the KC and Power will face each other in, obviously, July 5th. And the San Diego Surge awaited the winner of the Las Vegas Showgirls versus the Everett Rain, Las Vegas, in a rout. Former LFL All-Star and YouTube sensation Nikki Johnson, quarterback there, going up against Melissa Gallegos and the former 2012 San Diego Surge, undefeated as well in the WFA play. So San Diego versus Vegas, going to be interesting, exciting time there. You have Scott McCarron, Seattle Majestics, who were waiting for the results of the California War Angels taking on the Portland Fighting Phillies. The Fighting Phillies went down, and the War Angels take on Seattle. So Scott McCarron's got his hands full this next weekend to get over the hump. The War Angels are a very top-notch team. They won 44-0 of the Phillies. Now it's Majestics to see if they can move on. If they move on, they're going to face Vegas or San Diego. It doesn't get any easier. It'll just get tougher for his squad. So it's kind of interesting. And we'll see if we can get them on board after this week and see how the playoff format works out. But congratulations to them as well. But it's Seattle versus War Angels, San Diego taking on Las Vegas. In the National Conference, it was the Boston Militia who got the first round bye. They were waiting the winner of the Cleveland Fusion taking on the Indy Crash. The Cleveland Fusion, second year in a playoff mode, looking for an upset next week against Boston. Boston is ready and rolling. They've always been competitive. They're looking for the national title back again. You got DC Divas, who awaited the winner of the Columbus Comets, taking on the Toledo Rain. Columbus, no problem. They move on to the next round to face the DC Divas, which is their rival in the East Coast. So Comets, Divas will face off, and the winner of those two will take on either Militia or Fusion, the winner of that. In the last round, it was Chicago Force, who awaited the winner of the Michigan Mayhem, taking on the Derby City Dynamite. And Mayhem rebound, and they get the win. Now Chicago Mayhem rivals once again in this side of the coast. So Mayhem looking for the upset against the Force. The Force looking for a back-to-back title. The 2013 champions get the bye week, and now they're looking towards their rival, the Mayhem. And in the last bracket towards the end, Miami Fury, who won out the division in Florida, taking on Tampa Bay Inferno. Inferno was 7-0 coming into this game against the Atlanta Phoenix, who was 6-2. The end result is Phoenix move on. Disappointing loss for the Inferno. They were 7-0 undefeated the whole season, and they end up running into a better squad when it mattered. And the Phoenix will now take on the Miami Fury. The winner of the Fury and Phoenix will take on the defending champs, either Force or Mayhem. So that's the bracket breakdown in the WFA round one. You can get the breakdown of the scope of round one, the pregame, and everything else, you can follow at JanetTVFootball.com. You can also go to at Backseat Coach to get the latest, the folks that we network with. And you can always go to the official website at WFAFootball.net. You can also follow them on Twitter at WFAFootball for all the latest information on round two coming up next week. So, Erica, Scott McCarron has got his work cut out. He's going up against Central California War Angels, and they have the leading rusher, one of the top leading rushers in the game, Destiny Jarboneau and Chantel Wiggins, pretty top-notch quarterback combo there. So we'll see how Rachel Gore and the rest of the Majestics do against the War Angels. It's going to be a good test.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be interested to hear that. I'm rooting for Scott and the Majestics. I feel like it's the only team that really I would feel like made a connection with just from talking to Scott. So I like to hear that they're still in it and doing well. That's cool.
Yeah, and his goal was Seattle Seahawks mentality. So here we go. It's game one, win or go home. That's pretty much the only option he's got, win or go home.
Yeah.
And last year, he ended up going against the Utah Jinx, and he got bounced off the playoffs. So they didn't play very well, and they got knocked off. This year, he gets a bye week, and he gets an extra week to prepare. So we'll see how well prepared he is this week. So I'm pretty sure he's listening to us. Scott, we're not wanting to knock you off the playoff bracket, but I just got to tell you, the War Angels play pretty tough ball. So hats off to you and your squad, and we'll see how that they do next week.
That's right. And I'm rooting for you, Scott. Good luck.
All right. So pretty much end of the show here. We got a couple minutes left. So, Erica, you have a special feature you're going to present this week on Shelby Osborne, which we had on last week, the talented female star that's going into college in the NAIA. So tell us a little bit about when it's coming out and how you decided to do the interview. And you said it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Talking to her last week, if you haven't listened to it yet, please check it out. She's an exceptional young woman. Very impressive. Typically when I write my articles, I typically cover men's football, NFL, NCAA, stuff like that. But, she just impressed me so much. I really wanted to do a write-up on her. It's going to be a little more of a personal point of view than, the regular interview format that you see in an article. But I expect that to be up on gridirongirl.org in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out on my Twitter, at TouchdownGirl12, or Gridiron Girl's Twitter, which is at gridirongirl.org, or just the website. You can also subscribe to RSS feeds. You get the updates directly to your email. So you don't even have to worry about missing anything. Read it. I'm really excited about it. I talked to Shelby about doing it to make sure, I always want to get, if I do something like that, get people's permission. So she gave me the go-ahead, so I'm really excited about it. So, yeah, check it out.
Awesome. So we look forward to that on gridirongirls.org. And then, like I said, we'll link it on our timeline as well, and we'll end up posting it on our Facebook page as well so we can get that out of the way. So Shelby, amazing individual, and we wish her the best of luck in her campaign going into the college season. So looking forward to that. For everybody else, if you want to help us out, we're on the No Joke Football Project, which we started a year ago. There's a GoFundMe.com /NoJokeFootball. You can donate a dollar there towards the fund. All those funds in the No Joke Football Fund go towards helping players with marketing, player fees, anything we can do to help out the women's game get elevated to a social media marketing sense to boost up some traffic on Facebook, anything we can do socially to do it. So anything you can do to help us out, a dollar is a start. You can do more, that's great. If you can get some sponsors for us, it would be amazing. But you can go to the GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootball. You can also go to the store at the Zazzle.com/Great Iron Beauties, and you can get your No Joke football gear there. Every dollar off the No Joke football gear goes towards supporting the player, a photography project. We're working on with a couple photographers right now in England. You know, they're very patient with us. We're working with a couple photographers in Spain. We're going to be working with a couple photographers in Mexico. Internationally, we're trying to build ourselves up so that we can get the awareness out there so people understand that there's women playing American football. And if the bottom line is, we need to put it out there. So help us out with the project. It's the No Joke Football Project. On the weekends, if you're on Twitter, on game day, on Saturday, or on Fridays, whatever is game days are going on in any league in the in the world at this point, we want to make sure that you're using the hashtag No Joke Football. Let's get it trending on Twitter. Let's make an impact that way. Before we head out of here, let's just give a hats off to the WFA. This next weekend, fans, you are going to get to see the girls separated, the separation of girls. Now we're going to see the real warriors, the women of this game, coming up. So you're going to see, Katie Sowers in Kansas City, Melissa Gallegos in San Diego. You're going to see Allison Cahill in Boston, Nikki Johnson in Vegas, Chantel Wiggins, obviously, in the War Angels, Sammy Grisafi. You might even get to see, Jeanette Gray, a quarterback in Chicago, Nikki Williams in the Divas, Rachel Gore in Seattle, Letitia Hargraves in Atlanta, Amanda Hertz in Columbus, Beth Andersick in Cleveland, Danielle Thompson in Minnesota, Stacey Williams of the Mayhem. So you're going to see top-notch quarterback play, as well as you're going to see some running backs that are exciting to see. So if you can catch some of the playoff action, please do so. Taylor Hayes in Kansas City, Destiny Jarboe and the War Angels, Kelsey Casey in Chicago, as well as Brandy Hatcher, Kalina First Rider in Seattle, Kenneth Grizzly in D.C., as well as Kristen Strong in Houston. So if you can get out there to the games, please follow those teams and get out there and showcase your love for the sport, which is women's gridiron. Anything else you got, Erica? That's pretty much all I have. And we look forward to next week when we have Jeanette Gray of the Chicago Force on the show.
Exciting. Yeah, I'm trying to get, another thing I do with Gridiron Girl is fantasy football. I know there's a lot of women out there that are interested, but they're intimidated because they don't want to, they don't want to ask men, and they're worried about looking stupid or whatever. They don't get a chance to play. What I want to do is have a fantasy football league for beginners, for women that don't know, haven't played, but I need to have enough interest. We need to get enough women. So if you're interested in playing fantasy football and you haven't ever played, it's going to be very laid back. We're going to have fun. It's going to be more of a teaching year. Please tweet me, direct message me or whatever, at PestFangirl12 or at GridironGirl.org. I would love to be able to do it this year. I didn't get enough interest last year, so it would be awesome to do. So, yeah.
Perfect. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez here, we will catch you next week here on the Gridiron Blitz. When we have round two of the WFA playoffs, we have round two of the WWCFL. We're going to get into the international scene as well. And so a lot of football to be played here in the women's game. And then we even have Australia in the works coming up. So thank you for listening and for tuning in. We appreciate everybody's feedback. Get a hold of us if you need anything else on direct messages on Twitter or Facebook. So we'll catch you guys next week when we have Jeanette Gray here of the World Champion Chicago Force on the Blitz. Have a great, happy, and Father's Day to everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. Have a good day.
All right. Bye, Erica.
Bye.